So this morning, we're reading from three different passages from Isaiah, the book of Ephesians, and the Gospel of Matthew. You can look in your pew Bible to see where those page numbers are. That's all right. We're working together. As I mentioned to the children about the wise men, it's translated in Matthew as magi. You know, when we sing that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," you know, that reminds us of that traveling, that back and forth. And as I was coming together for reading these passages and understanding God's call for this sermon, I couldn't help but make the observation. If the wise men had been wise women, just saying, they'd have probably asked for directions, right? They'd probably arrived on time. Sorry, man, I didn't mention this during breakfast this morning. They'd probably helped deliver the baby. Yeah. They'd have cleaned the stable. Just saying. Probably made a casserole. And might even have brought practical gifts. Frankincense and myrrh. Practical gifts. Yeah. You know?
Diapers,
you know, yeah, yeah. Just thinking. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletins or on the front screen? Spirit of God, in the proclamation of your word, reveal to us the hidden mystery of your love in Christ. And strengthen our faith that we may approach you with boldness.
Amen.
From the prophet Isaiah, starting on page 1155 in your pew Bible, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. It proclaims, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you, to the riches. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camel will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all of Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." And from Ephesians, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, it starts on 1820, page 1820. Paul, the preacher to the Gentiles, he says this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, The Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me, but through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's rich. And our gospel lesson. The second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This has been the reading of the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. On this first Sunday of 2019, Epiphany Sunday, it appears that God relished diversity and inclusion long before such goals became the responsibility of HR, human resources departments, or college administrators, or even appointed faith leaders. God shines a light upon the people of Israel, not for their own sake alone, but for the sake of the nations. So reflective of God's glory will the Jewish people be that other peoples will be drawn to them. And these other peoples shall also be radiant as a result. Paul tells the readers of his letter to the Ephesians the reason he is a prisoner for Christ Jesus is for the sake of the Gentiles. All he endures and undertakes brings the Gentiles closer to the Christ and to God's light, light-bearing chosen ones, in order that all will be members of the same body. Those who have been far off will now be brought close. So close, in fact, that they will be one with God and each other. It's a hard concept to wrap our minds around. News of the birth of the King of the Jews, born in the small outlier town of Bethlehem, reached all the way to the east. Herod is frightened by this baby, this baby's arrival. And so is Jerusalem. We hear that in that passage. God's expansive purview excludes no corner of creation. No far-flung town or powerful palace, no shepherd or earthly king. Those currently enjoying the status quo, they ought to be frightened. Be afraid, Herod. Be very afraid. Herod's epiphany that this child, that this king of the Jews, trumps any political, military, or temporal power, well, that's correct. Nations, Gentiles, wise ones from the east, poor ones from the fields, tax collectors once willing to capitulate to Rome, hungry crowds, and even women and children will be united in Christ, enlisted to serve God fully and to sent to proclaim to all with ears to hear that their worth is God-given. Their dignity is God-ordained. Their loyalty to the Lord alone. Be afraid, Herod. Be very afraid. Herod's epiphany of Jesus' power begets fear. The wise men pay homage. The shepherds responded with worship and unrestrained proclamation. Mary ponders these things in her heart. And soon Pharisees and chief priests will plot to kill him. And a few people will leave all they have and follow him. Those possessed by evil spirits will recognize him. The most vulnerable will cry out to him for mercy. The hungry and the thirsty will be satisfied. The estranged will be reconciled. The guilty as sin, the guilty of sin, sinners of all nations, they will be forgiven. Mercy now trumps sacrifice. Grace abounds. Justice will rush through the streets like a river bursting its banks. And the most recalcitrant wrongdoers will miraculously repent and seek to make things right. The world is about to turn. Nothing remains the same with the inbreaking of the light of Christ, the coming of the glory of God, the incarnation of the Son of Man. Birth. King of the Jews. Not then and not now. Be afraid, Herod. Be very afraid. As we begin a new calendar year, what revelation does the birth of Jesus bring to us? How do we respond as the earth tilts and nations stream to the light of the Lord, and Mary's song becomes as familiar as Silent Night or Old Anxiety, and the glory of God overwhelms the world? Fear? Homage? Worship? Silent awe? boisterous proclamation? Selling all we have? Giving back five times what we've taken? Forgiving 7 times 7. Repentance, longing for, working for real reconciliation, listening to the Spirit, even when it defies Herod and puts us in danger. What has God revealed to you with the coming of the light of Jesus Christ? The practice of star words, not Star Wars, star words, has become more popular in recent years. Contemporary disciples are given a star with a word written on it. And the word is to guide them through the year. Like those long ago wise men, we are to follow the star and allow it to lead us and look to it for guidance. Star words include words like patience, courage, receive, respect, turn, repentance, leadership, loyalty. And I like the fact that star words can be intergenerational. So I've given you all a star. And in your choosing to think of a word and write it on your star as to follow through this new year, words like loyalty, leadership, respect, reconciliation, repentance, turning, forgiveness, and using this star as a guide for you to move through this year. Perhaps it goes on your mirror in your bathroom, that's the first thing you see when you wake up, or maybe it's on your refrigerator, and the second thing you see when you wake up, or your coffee machine, right? But using it as a guide, using it as a lens in which to look through this new year, as a reminder of guidance by a star, a holy star. I like the idea of making Epiphany applicable to our daily life. We can have discoveries every day. We can start our days over at any time, right? So taking that guidance and taking that star and applying it to our lives. I've heard testimony from people who chose their word, and it truly impacted their lives. They choose a new word every year. It gives a sense of God's presence for them and guidance for their lives. Here comes the but. I would want to make sure that we don't inadvertently turn Epiphany, this expansive, nation-encompassing, Gentile-reaching wise men from the east, all Jerusalem afraid, world-upending occasion, into a strictly personal, just Jesus and me revelation. Right? Our hands go outward. It's not about inward turning, it's about outward expansiveness. Whatever our star word, our revelation, our response, our reaction to the coming of the Christ child, Christ does not come for us alone, but for the sake of the world. Boom. The people of Israel are given the light of God so that nations will stream to them, be drawn to God's glory. Paul is a prisoner of Christ for the sake of the Gentiles, so that we will be one body. Jesus Christ coming to earth is good news for all people. Herod's fear is warranted because anyone abusing their power, exploiting the vulnerable, hurting the world God so loves, will be overthrown. Our star words, our revelation, our epiphany, if it comes from the Lord, entails participating in the uprising of justice and equity, the insurgence of grace and mercy, maybe even perhaps turning over tables. Sacrificial love. Be afraid, Herod. Be very afraid. The world is about to turn. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.